Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 1st, 2017, and I'm not kidding. It's April Fool's Day. April 1st, 2017. We're going to be here live for just about 2 hours. We've got lots going on. I can't believe how much stuff is going on in the month of April. And we had a little foobar this morning. I come here to do the show, and I forget the radio show, all my notes and everything, so I had to go back. So we just got basically settled in here. But we're good to go. We're professionals. We can handle it, and we're ready to give out all this information. The number to reach us here at the studio is 254-697-6633, or you can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Toll-free number here is 866-504-1051. Lots of information, so be sure to go to our Facebook page on Aaron's Gun Shop, like us on Facebook, give us a call here at the studio, become part of the show, give us your comments, your thoughts, so on and so forth. We've got an action-packed show, so I'm going to get right into it with the show highlights. Today, we're going to start the show with three real stories taken out of the NRA's American Rifleman magazine. And by reading and studying these true stories, we can learn what works and what doesn't work. So if you have a real-life true story of self-defense, please give us a call. Let us know about it. 254-697-6633, and we'll put you on the air. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to talk to you about it. See your real-life experience and how you felt at the moment. In my License to Carry segment, this week I want to talk to you about pot. Whether you know it or not, we all do pot. Every day, too. That means you too, Grandma. Grandma's doing pot every day, whether you know it or not. Pot, perception of threat. Pot, perception of threat. It's very important. Perception of threat is extremely important when it comes to making life and death decisions. So we're going to be going over pot today. Now, during the attorney law section, I will have attorney Benton Ross Watson here. He's awesome with what he has to express and tell us and talk about when it comes to these penal codes and laws. And I have no doubts he will give us a great understanding. We're going to be talking about pot and necessity, penal code concerning necessity. And that's going to be a good section, so get your note-taking material ready. Today's topic of interest section, we'll go over all the upcoming events in April, and there's a lot. I'm involved with a bunch of them. We're doing things for other people. We're organizing up a ladies group, and it's looking pretty interesting there. So ladies, if you're interested in getting into a ladies shooting group, you need to just make contact with us, and we'll put you in the right direction as to who to speak to. It looks like it's going to go really well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just as a side note, I've been doing my gun business for 17 years now, and some said I wouldn't make it too. I kept on and, you know, kept my eye on the target and just made it happen. And I can help you do the same getting yourself on target. I know what I'm doing. So if you check us out at aaronsgunshop.com, check out all the different seminars and classes, see what we have to offer. We can help you one way or another to become a better, faster, more accurate shooter. In my product spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, I will talk to you about the Bursa Thunder 22. Now, for all you Bursa Thunder 380 owners, you need to listen up. You're going to like this. So give them a call in Heidenhammer. It's 254-983-4417. Put your hold on that gun, and after the show, you can go out there and buy it. But during the product spotlight, I'll go over all the details concerning the Bursa Thunder 22. As always, around 11, we're going to have the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon. See that when you talk about Randy Dixon, just music just comes and soothes your soul. He's the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia. So be sure to stay tuned for the voice of law enforcement. Now, in my gun training segment, I'm going to discuss the 22 conversion kits versus dedicated 22s. And this is going to link up nicely with that Bursa Thunder 22 I was telling you about. So make sure you take notes. My special guest today for today's interview will be no other than Zoltan Varga. Zoltan, or Zoli as we call him, is my rifle instructor for my M4 and semi-auto rifle seminars. Now, Zoli has a long combat military history and applies all that knowledge to our seminars. And I'll be talking with him and asking him questions, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be really interesting. All right, so now, without further ado, strap yourselves in, get your note-taking materials ready, and let's start the show. And we're going to start it, like I said, with our NRA segment. of life, true life stories. Now, in this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page of the American Rifleman. And hopefully from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It all depends on the story. So I'm going to read to you now from the April 2017 issue of the American Rifleman. If you want to follow along, get your magazines out. It's on page 10, story number one. A driver passing through Tonopah, Arizona, saved a state trooper's life after a harrowing incident. Just before sunrise, the trooper had stopped to investigate an incident or an accident. After discovering a flipped vehicle, the officer went to set out flares to warn other motorists. The driver of the overturned car opened fire on the officer and struck him, prompting the officer to attempt to subdue the man. A passing motorist and a concealed carry holder saw the attack and stopped, asking the officer if he needed help. After the officer said yes, the armed citizen went to his vehicle and retrieved his firearm, warning the trooper's attacker to stop. The man did not, so the Good Samaritan shot him once, wounding him. While the passerby was tending to the trooper's injury, the assailant attacked a second time. The armed citizen shot the man again, this time killing him. Arizona Department of Public Safety spokesman Captain Damon Cecil said the motorist saved the trooper's life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my commentary. This story needs definitions to words and phrases. Let me try to help clarify it for you. Number one, driver opened fire. That equals the driver tried to kill the officer. Two, officer attempted to subdue the man. Well, that equals officer was about to take down the driver. I mean, out, dead out, okay? Three, passerby asked officer if he needed help. That equals passerby can't make easy decision like that of helping the officer. I mean, that was just a no-brainer. Four, officer said yes. That equals, you dumb butt, of course I do. Five, went back to his vehicle to get his gun. That means not prepared. Now, honestly, the passerby was awesome for what he did to help the officer. I make fun of how the story is written, you know, just to have some fun with it. But we break this down, and we're also worried about political correctness. That's why I was giving clarity on these terms or phrases, like driver opened fire. The driver's trying to kill the officer for some reason. All right, we'll move on to the second story. Paternal love knows no bounds. Even after being shot twice himself, a Frankfort, Pennsylvania father of four defended his family during a home invasion. After hearing a knock on the door to his home late one night, the homeowner answered only to have the person on the porch force his way inside. The resident's wife barricaded herself and the couple's four daughters in an upstairs room during the altercation. The intruder shot, hitting the victim twice, but the armed citizen retrieved a firearm and fired back, with the bullet fatally striking his attacker in the head. The robber was declared dead at the scene. The injured protector was taken to the hospital where he is listed in serious condition. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm extremely irritated by this story. The wife in this story should have had her, you know, should have had her backside paddled on this one. And don't give me this crap that it's all about the children either. Throw those kids in the bedroom, tell them to hide and shut up, and get back to your husband as backup. The wife could have stood between the bedroom door and the intruders and could have had at least attempted to help her husband. Huddling in the bedroom, allowing your husband to be shot twice and doing nothing to help him irks me. It goes both ways, too. I've read many stories where the woman is up front engaging. Her man or other needs to back her up. Now you know how I feel about that one, okay? It irks me. You two are a team. You're supposed to back each other up. Yes, protect the children, obviously. We'll throw them in the room, lock the door, and then take out whoever's trying to hurt you. Story number three. Attackers come in all forms, both human and animal. A 17-year-old boy in Virginia was at home looking after his nieces and nephews when he heard noises outside that alarmed him. Concerned for the safety of the children in his care, the boy grabbed his rifle and went to investigate. He saw what turned out to be a 545-pound feral boar tearing up the front yard. The boar saw the boy and charged him. The boy fired in response. When he came up to me the way he did, I had no choice but to shoot him, the teen told local media. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, here in Texas, we call that dinner. Okay, very plain and simple. So that's it. Three stories of real life. If you can learn something off it, great. I'm sure you can. And we're moving on now to License to Carry. The number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. Give us a call if you got a story that has happened to you and, you know, protecting yourself, your family, or your property. Give us a call. We'd love to hear about it. Okay, License to Carry or Concealed Handgun License. They're both the same thing. Old school people still got the old license. It's Concealed Handgun License. For the newbies who have been getting it, it's a License to Carry. Now, last week in this segment, I read to you the definitions of force, reasonable and necessary force, and deadly force. This week, I want to talk to you about pot. Do any of you do pot out there? If you're not doing pot, you're crazy. I do pot every day and twice on Sunday. Pot means perception of threat. Perception of threat, pot. We all make decisions before we act based on the perception of what we see, hear, or feel about a situation. The justification for using force is based on perception. And since that is the case, let me read to you the common elements that need to be analyzed before using force. We teach this in the class all the time. The justification for the use of force is based on perception. And common elements that need to be analyzed before using force are the number, size of attackers, gender. Are there innocent bystanders around and what's their location? What kind of weapons are being used? What's the mental state or the perceived state of mind of the threat? Is there a lesser force option? Do you have alternatives available? What kind of offense was actually committed? Body language, which is big with me. What's the body language telling you? What type of clothing? Gang members, you know, that kind of deal. Special skills. What kind of special skills do you have or does a threat have that could potentially cause you to do certain things? Is someone injured? And if so, where are they located? Do you have access to them? So these are things, common elements that need to be analyzed before we use any type of force. Now, what could possibly happen after shooting? Well, depending on the severity of it or the evidence that's clearly visible, you'll probably be arrested. Possibility of criminal charges being filed, grand jury appearance, possible trial, and possible punishment. You may have civil litigation against you for force, whether the criminal law prosecutes or not. So there's a lot of things to think about when it comes to pot. Now, if you use a gun as force, you have a good chance of being arrested. Like I said, possibility of criminal charges being filed, so on and so forth. And since that is the case, it makes total sense to have some of that good pot ready. Perception of threat. Now, let me read to you Penal Code 9.22, necessity, and see how pot can apply to this penal code. This is Texas Penal Code 922, necessity. Conduct is justified if, one, the actor reasonably believes that the conduct is immediately necessary to avoid imminent harm. Two, the desirability and urgency of avoiding the harm clearly outweigh, according to ordinary standards of reasonableness, the harm sought to be prevented by the law prescribing the conduct. And three, a legislative purpose to exclude the justification claim for the conduct does not otherwise plainly appear. It's a short paragraph. It's a short penal code. And in our attorney lawyer segment, we're going to have attorney Benton Ross Watson here with us, and he's going to set us all straight on everything we've been discussing here. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take about a 3-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to have our special guest on, attorney Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to go over penal code and common elements that need to be analyzed before using force, pot. So we'll be back on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop in High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful
stuff. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, today is April 1st, 2017, April Fool's Day. If you've done an April Fool's trick to somebody, give me a call here. Let me know what it is so we can get a good little laugh. It's 254-697-6633. And ladies and gentlemen, every day, and especially every Saturday morning before I come to the show here, I get my cup of CEFCO coffee. When you're on the go, make it CEFCO. Hear that? You're on the go, go CEFCO. It's a great cup of coffee, and the reason it is, it tastes the same every time. And it's not one of these plastic cups either where you start tasting the styrofoam coming into the coffee. It's a paper
like
cup,
as a being.
Wax paper cup, and the coffee tastes great. Go get yours.
I've had thoughts about, and this sounds crazy now that I say it, but I've had thoughts.
By. We have somebody else talking to me here. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce to you here attorney Benton Ross Watson. And we've been having a great time in this segment, going over a lot of things. And I want to welcome you again to the show, Ross. How's everything been going with you?
It's been great, man. It's been really good.
Winning cases, just tearing it up out there, right?
Doing the best I can anyway.
Okay. Well, look, I sent you a bunch of information. I've been getting tons of comments about this segment because of the interaction that we're having and the information that's going over the air when it comes to penal code for people licensed to carry, so on and so forth. Because they're always asking questions, and you always have to say, oh, I'm not an attorney. I can't give you that information. Well, we've got a live one here, that's you, who can give us some insight. So I sent you some information, And I'd like to go over the list of the common elements that need to be analyzed before using force and give us some lawyer insight as to how a court may see these things different from the regular Joe on the street defending himself, a third person, or property. Does that pretty much nail it down? Is it clear what I'm asking?
You just want to go back over real quick what we spoke about last time. So,
well, the list of common elements, I was hoping if, like, for example, if I'm saying I see a group of people, to me, two is too much.
There's a myriad of things that can come into play if you're talking about going to a jury trial.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to go over.
And yeah, that's what we kind of got on last time, was how big is the person that's coming after you and what kind of weapon does he have. And I think, you know, perception of threat definitely goes to whether the person has a reasonable belief that force is immediately necessary. So, I mean, if you want to bounce some stuff off of me, and I'll bounce some stuff off of you, that'd be good.
That sounds good.
There's a good way to remember everything. We talked about, too, that there's a presumed reasonable belief in certain situations.
Yes.
And so the legislature has given gun owners and homeowners and property owners a way to perceive a threat, right, that is going to be presumed by law as a threat. And those kinds of threats would be if somebody's coming to burglarize your house, coming to break into your house with force, doing a sexual assault type of situation. I actually came up with a little, I think they call them acronyms, mm-hmm. right? Firearms are hot.
Oh, I like this already. Firearms are hot, an acronym?
Yes, okay. And so I think if you can remember that, it starts with F, force. The other individual will be using force. This would be in the code section 9.31 of the Texas Penal Code and 9.32. But the individuals are going to be using force. They're going to be using unlawful force, which I've put as illegal. They're going to, it says, wanting to remove you or somebody from a habitation, a vehicle, or a place of business. They're going to want to enter a vehicle, a home, or a place of business. And ACE stands for, or if they're doing one of these things, aggravated kidnapping.
Yes, sir.
Okay, or what I put as abduction. And R stands for robbing. If they're committing a robbery, that would fall under the exception to use force. M falls under murder. The S falls for sex. And then R, we talked about briefly last time. Are you at a place where you have a right to be? Do you have a right to be there? And do you have the right attitude?
I like this. This is so very good.
So you can't be provoking somebody, and you have to have a right to be where you are. So you have to have the right attitude, and you have to have the right authority to be where you are. And then hot. There was three situations that the legislature said. I've already mentioned those. One is the home, a habitation. And O stands for office, but that can be a business place. Mm-hmm. You can be an employee at your place of work, a place of business. The T stands for transportation because they include vehicles in that. And so to go back over it briefly, if someone's coming and trying to remove you from your vehicle or from your habitation or from your office place, and they're doing it unlawfully and using force, that gives you the right to use force in turn. And you're going to be presumed by law. The legislature has made those things a perceptive threat, and made it a perceptive threat whenever they're doing a robbery or it's essentially a burglary, really, if you're breaking in to do some kind of felony. Okay, but even if you're breaking into the home with force and breaking into somebody's habitation, right, we assume that you're going to perceive a threat, even if it could be your kinfolk, because you don't know who it is.
That's almost like a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it is a no-brainer, but it's important because you don't want people being treated unjustly in the system many times.
Hey, Ross, I want to take a side note. We're going to go right back to this, but a side note on somebody breaking into your home at night as compared to breaking in during the day. Is there a clarification on that when it comes to someone actually breaking in and you're there during daylight hours as compared to nighttime?
Yes, for property, and yes, for when it's not going to meet one of the presumption things. I'm sure that being nighttime makes it the situation that much more intense,
yes,
and worrisome. But the presumptions, right, don't say that it's got to be at night.
Okay.
Okay. You can be presumed to have a reasonable belief if you're at home sleeping in your chair at lunchtime taking a siesta, and somebody just starts busting in your house, and that could be in the middle of the day. And if you thought we didn't really go to the deadly force, but if you thought they were using deadly force, or they were going to, and they were breaking in your house, and you thought it was necessary to use that force, you would be presumed to have a reasonable belief.
Okay, let's go back over this again. Tell us why you wrote this acronym, what it is, and then break it down slowly so people can take the notes down and write it down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll have a podcast like I do with all my shows. You can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page, and check out the podcast. We're on iTunes and Podbean and all that kind of stuff. So check out the website, and you'll be able, if you missed this, and it's around the 10:20 time mark that attorney Benton Ross Watson is here and talking about this. So go ahead and tell us again your acronym, what it stands for, why you wrote it up, and let's say each one a little bit slower so that people can take notes.
The acronym is essentially just a short way to remember 9.31 and 9.32 of the Texas Penal Code, because there's a lot to it, and it helps you kind of get a grasp on it if you were in an emergency situation and wanted to try to think about if your actions are going to be lawful, spur of the moment. And so you could think firearms are hot. Force, I'll just read the code, really. The actor's belief that the force was immediately necessary, as described by this subsection, is presumed to be reasonable if the actor knew or had reason to believe that the person that they used the force against, right, was. And then this is where you would use the acronym, was using force, was acting unlawfully to remove you.
So the I would be illegal?
Yes, illegal. So,
And the key word is firearms are, and the R is not spelled out. It's the letter R.
Letter R.
And F is force, I is illegal, and now you're on R.
R is remove you from your vehicle, place of business, or work, or home. Your habitation is what the code says. Or entering unlawfully, illegally, and with force, your home, your vehicle, your place of business,
mm-hmm.
Or attempting to do so. Okay, and then A is the basically the second half of that section that gives you the presumption when somebody is committing aggravated kidnapping. That A, you can think of it as a abduction. That may be an easier way to do it, but it's really not the same, because the abduction can mean two things, and it can mean aggravated kidnapping, but it can also mean something else, but it may help you. But aggravated kidnapping, trying to take somebody for ransom with a use of a deadly weapon, trying to kidnap a politician, trying to kidnap somebody to hurt them badly, terrorize them. Okay, and
let's hold up 1 second. Let's help me clarify something here, because on the aggravated one, I could use deadly force, but we're discussing force here, and we talked about definitions of force and deadly force. How do these bleed together so one can be clear on the force levels?
Okay, so I wish that maybe I had a larger knowledge of case law as far as, could you use deadly force every time when it's aggravated kidnapping? I don't know that you could. They can try to use any kind of threat maybe to get you to do something. I don't know that every single time that they do aggravated kidnapping that you're going to be justified. The second section, 9.32, says that you can use the deadly force to prevent those activities. Right. If it adds language in there, if,
and that's on Penal Code what?
9.32.
All right. So
imminent commission of,
it's happening now.
One of those things. If the person who was doing this abandoned their effort immediately, even though they were maybe still in the course of doing it, could you pull out a gun and shoot them, right? Is that going to be a reasonable belief?
Well, I see your point. I see your point there. But what I mean is, if somebody's in the got their hands on them, dragging the person, and for some reason I determine my shot's clean, I'm sorry, I'm doing it, okay?
Oh, I mean...
But now, if the person sees me coming out, they let go and run away, that's what you were getting at, where that might not be valid because the threat has now passed.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just maybe, I don't know about every single case, is
okay.
All I'm saying.
Very
yeah.
good. All right, so we're back here, and our acronym of firearms are HOT, and we're on the letter R, the first R.
Okay, so is robbery. If somebody's committing a robbery, and all robbery is, to give you a quick definition, is just theft, by using some kind of threat or some sort of bodily injury. When I come up and hit you and take your money as opposed to just doing a pickpocket situation.
Okay.
Murder, obviously, you're going to be able to use force in that situation. And then sexual assault. Now, these two sections, I don't say aggravated sexual assault and aggravated robbery because they say sexual assault and robbery. But it actually says... those two extra ones as well. And then the other one is to make sure you have a right to be where you are, and you have a right to be what you're right to be doing what you're doing. So the code says you cannot provoke somebody, and we talked about this last time. Don't talk smack, you know, to somebody. Right. Don't get in their face. Don't provoke the situation. Now, I'm not saying every time that were to happen, right, you wouldn't get a self-defense claim, but you're sure not going to get the presumption in this situation. You're not going to be presumed, and therefore, you're going to have to prove it. And if you were at fault, it makes you that much more likely to be arrested and the DA to come after you and put you in front of display in front of the entire community.
And we're going to come back to that in a second once we finish this up, because I read before, you know, if you were... what can possibly happen after a shooting? We'll talk about that briefly after.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then make sure that you have a right to be doing what you're doing. It says that as long as you're not committing a criminal act other than a Class C traffic violation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then HOT is it within your home? Is it within your office? In your vehicle, transportation. So now for aggravated kidnapping.
So
it's not going to require you to be in the home or anything, but the other ones do require it, so it's important to keep that in mind. And it's also important, and I didn't even see this until I started working on this, it's got to be an occupied habitation. So I know it's a no-brainer because you think, well, I'm occupying the space, but like we said, words mean things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I've seen crazier things happen, and it's possible that, you know, you'd be fighting over an empty space.
Wouldn't you agree the reason why it's so important to know all this and to have clarity on it and understand the loopholes is because a person out there who's carrying a weapon for self-defense of property, person, family, whatever, and God forbid they have to engage in it, it's not as cut and dry as you think, because when you're going to have to most likely... unless you're no build or something, go to a court of law to defend yourself. And if you're in that court, that means the prosecutor thinks he's got a chance at winning, and a prosecutor doesn't like to lose, right?
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
So they're going to take every...
Lawyers don't like to win. We all think we're the best.
Okay. But the bottom line is, lawyers, like Rick said, take sides. And when you're on your side, getting paid by the person taking care of you, you're going to look for every possible way to get them off. And the other the prosecuting attorney is going to look for every way to get them booked and serving time behind bars. So you've got to be able to understand how it can go either way for you, even if you think you're right. And isn't that a good assumption, a good explanation?
I mean, a good example of this is Christopher Grisham's case. I don't know if the listeners know, but he was carrying a firearm, what appeared to be legally, in an area that did not prohibit carrying of firearms. And the next thing you know, the situation is out of control, and then they're trying to justify it later on things that you can clearly see had nothing to do mm-hmm. with what was going on at the time of the stop. And he ends up winning one case, kind of winning, and then coming back and losing it again, and he just went up on appeal and he lost that. And you wonder how these types of situations happen. I mean,
now can I want to mention this here. On April 22nd, I'm going to be doing a live remote at the Real Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center. And it's going to be a big show. We are going to have C.J. Grisham at the show. We're going to have attorney Benton Ross Watson there as well. And we're going to be discussing some things pertaining to that case. It's going to be very interesting for all you open carry enthusiasts and everybody else for that matter. It's a show you don't want to miss. And actually come on out to the show, get to meet everybody, shake hands, talk, ask questions, so on and so forth. So back to what you were saying now, Ross.
Well, this is, I mean, I was just agreeing that, yes, I mean, anything can happen in this business. I think that's why I like it. It's the ultimate competition, and it's the ultimate challenge. I think there's no greater glory than to beat somebody head-on in a situation, especially when you're being judged. Mm-hmm. By other people. I always hated judge sports, and I don't know why I got in this profession because it's so mind-wracking, because at any given time, the courts can just make up their own rules.
Is it almost like a chess game?
Oh, definitely. From the very moment before you even get to the courts.
Wow. All right, look, here's what we're going to do. Trey, let's take a break here, and we're going to come back with attorney Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to discuss the short penal code necessity, and we'll see what he has to say about that, and then we'll finish up this segment. So we'll see you on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417. If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's April 1st, 2017, April Fool's Day. And this is no joke. We've got attorney Benton Ross Watson here with us going over our attorney lawyer segment, talking about Penal Code 922, right? Necessity? Yeah, 922 necessity. And we've been going over pot, perception of threat, and what that involves. And we're back now. And Ross, we were talking during the break. Wanted to go over briefly, if you could, what happens after a shooting. I had mentioned you'll probably be arrested, possibility of criminal charges being filed, grand jury appearance, possible trial, possible punishment. You may have civil litigation. Can you just explain that to people in better terms than what I just read?
I think it probably is going to depend on what kind of situation it is, too. You never want to be too big of a fish because you don't want to be a reason to get publicity, and you don't want to be too small of a fish that it just allows the prosecutor to get convictions, and you really don't mean anything, so it's not a big deal as far as politically speaking.
You want to be a fish that's just right.
And you want to be a fish that has tried to stay away from the sharks, okay? So you want to try to stay within the bounds of law, but let's say that a situation happens and you happen not to fall within one of those presumptive areas. Like you said, it's going to be a very factual, intensive situation. You're definitely going to be questioned by the police. I would probably expect them to at least take you downtown and question you if they don't arrest you. And after that occurs, a lot of times what happens is the district attorney doesn't want to file charges on people, but they feel like they have to, and so they'll take it to the grand jury and hope the grand jury no-bills it. And then they're off the hook, and everybody's fine. Everybody goes home. But and so a lot of times you could not have done anything wrong, but it's just like the district attorneys did for a lot of the policemen 2 years ago, I think, up in the northern states, when a lot of these were going on. There was so much backlash, and they didn't have any other choice just to send it to the grand jury and hope that they no-billed it. Now, the prosecutor's allowed to present his case to the grand jury as he or she wants to present it.
Don't the facts come in and then the gathered facts gets in front of the prosecutor and the prosecutor says there's enough here to do something, or this is kind of weird, so we send it to the grand jury to see if it gets billed or no-billed, right?
And see, there are more regulations. See, this process used to be simple. It is secret. No, it is secret, but there's more regulations now that it's a little bit you're able to discover a little bit more of what's going on than you used to be, but still the old saying that a prosecutor indicted a ham sandwich is basically true. And if you're on the bad side of law enforcement or the prosecutor, that's not a good place to be, even though you were justified, because the way that that's presented has a lot to do with whether they no-bill or whether they indict. Mm-hmm. And so you could be right, but they may say, well, if he's right, then let a jury find him not guilty. And then you're still going to have to be, they'll issue a warrant. They'll probably arrest you if they haven't already done it. Mm-hmm. You'll have to get you a lawyer. You'll go before the judge. You'll be arraigned on that indictment.
But the answer to this is go into your bedroom, lock the door, put your head under the covers. That's about the only way you can 100% assure yourself of anything. All right, just kidding. Now, tell you what, we're almost done with this segment, so let's go to necessity, Penal Code 922. And I read that during my other segment, but I'll read it again real fast. Texas Penal Code 9.22, necessity. Conduct is justified if, one, the actor reasonably believes the conduct is immediately necessary to avoid imminent harm. Two, the desirability and urgency of avoiding the harm clearly outweigh, according to ordinary standards of reasonableness, the harm sought to be prevented by the law prescribing the conduct. And three, a legislative purpose to exclude the justification claim for conduct does not otherwise plainly appear. When I read that to my students, they look and go, blah, 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 blah. Help me out.
Let me just give you an example. If a tornado's coming and you're out in the middle of a field and you've got nowhere to go and there's nothing, you can't hide or anything, but you see a big concrete structure up ahead and you run towards it because that's the only hope you've got, and there's a door, by God, you're going to break down that door. Right? And you're going to do that because it's necessary. And there are no other alternatives, and there's nothing else you can do. The same would be, like I was telling you, this probably goes back, and I'm making stuff up right now, but I'm pretty sure it's a good hypothesis that this kind of defense goes back probably as far as, you know, any defense goes, because, like, if the pasture's flooding and you need to bring your cows over to the neighbor's property and trespass, then that's just what you got to do.
So bottom line is, if the next door neighbor there wants to say, hey, you're trespassing, and take you to court, the court will say it was a necessity.
It was a necessity.
They're going to let it go.
Right.
Okay.
And so I would probably say that, you know, self-defense stems out of that a little bit. We have all kinds of Roman codes and biblical support for the right of self-defense as well. But when self-defense is an issue, generally you're not going to get also a defense of necessity unless there's some other kind of issue, you know, that's not solely connected to the self-defense right. But there's an interesting case, and I can't tell the listeners that I'm 100% about this, because this case was actually overruled by the Supreme Court, but it was overruled, I mean Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, but on another ground. It had nothing to do with this particular item. And so this court here, it was the person was restricted from carrying a handgun on this place, and so it was an area where he wasn't supposed to go into, and the law of necessity, when he got charged for unlawfully carrying this weapon, right, it was supposedly, there's not a whole lot of facts either about the specific, what was really going on. Sometimes courts just don't want to talk about it, and they just want to get it over with and say what their opinion is and not tell us more because they don't want us to know, right? But and make other people figure it out. But I can't, there's not a whole lot of facts, but what I deduce from reading it is that it's a place he wasn't supposed to go, but he took it there because there was some sort of fear factor, and he was probably going to need the weapon, and he really honestly felt like there wasn't another alternative if he went to this place. And so even though he was prohibited from taking the weapon there, right, he took it anyway. And sure enough, he got arrested and charged with unlawful carry. Well, he asked, you know, during trial, please let me tell the jury, I thought I had to do this. There was nothing else for me to do. I had no other options. Like, this was my only choice. This was necessary. And the prosecution hadn't given us anything to show what other options I had. And the trial judge was like, sorry, right? Not going to do it, right? And it went up on appeal, and the appellate court disagreed. They said they thought the trial court should have given him the right to claim that defense. So
it all depends on who's at the trial, what day it is, and what mood they're in, and if they've had their cup of coffee or not, from Sefco Hilltop.
But I can tell you there's another case, an unlawful carry situation, and I was trying to find that. That's why I didn't know we were, maybe I missed something. I didn't know we were going to this issue. I would have found it before, and I may have it next time. But in Texas, there's actually a law that says a police officer can commandeer a citizen and make them help in an emergency type situation. Well, this was a case that involved the same situation, but this officer handed this individual his gun. The police officer handed this private individual his gun. Well, that person wasn't supposed to have the gun. And so like I said, it's been a long time since I've seen the case. I'm going to go find it though. But I'm telling you, that guy got in trouble because I don't know what he did. He may have done something stupid, which is why they ended up charging him anyway. But still, you would think it wasn't for something stupid. It was because he had the weapon. Mm-hmm. And so you ask yourself, how can a police officer commandeer me and then give me his weapon and knowing that this is a place I'm not supposed to have a weapon, right? And then I get in trouble for it.
It was necessary to do it, so that's the argument. It was necessary under the conditions.
But he got in trouble.
But he got in trouble. Well, I'd like to see that case. So
hell yeah.
Let's figure it out for next week. All right. We ran a little long. Ross, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
Here in Cameron, 105 East Main Street. And people around town know me. If you can't find it,
you must be a star now. They're all asking for your signatures on napkins, right?
I'm still a small fish in a small pond.
You don't want to be a small fish, remember?
It's got the big milk cow on the side of it. That's my office, and my number is 254-605-4140, 254-605-4140, Benton@Watson.legal.
Fantastic. It's always a pleasure, Ross. I enjoy it very much. You can review this again on our podcast. We'll have a segment for YouTube probably Monday or Tuesday. You can check it out with all the other ones, and it's great for note-taking materials. All right, we're going to cut it short. Just start me off with a long break, and I'll see if I can come in short, Trey. And we'll be back again on the other side, and we'll go over a few things before the top of the hour. So see you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful
stuff. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 1st, 2017, and again, we're here live. We'll be here for about the next hour and 5 minutes. And we're going to finish up this hour going over our topic of interest section before we get to the voice of law enforcement. Today at 2 p.m., I will be conducting another license to carry class, and it is $60 for new people and $40 for a refresher course. Now, why spend $100 to watch a boring PowerPoint when you can pay $60 and walk out of the class saying, man, that was good? Why? I don't know why you'd want to pay that much. So hurry and sign up for class today. Call me here now at the studio, 254-697-6633. Let us know who you are, if you're going to be coming, and it's real simple to get you squared away. Still got room in the class, so give me a call. On Friday, April 14th, will be our next round-robin competition, and up for grabs is the IAC Hawk Model 982 12-gauge pump shotgun with ghost ring sights. For a $20 entry fee, you get to shoot all night long for free, compete to possibly win a shotgun, and get some really good training on how to shoot under stress. Now, I've got many shooters who have started this not too long ago and have become really good shooters because they learn how to control themselves while shooting. You owe it to yourself to try it out, so come on out there. That's going to be April 14th. That's Friday. Need you there by 6:30. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the homepage, go to the top of the page there, and you'll see the link for the competition. On April 15th is my next co-ed self-defense with a handgun and home defense training seminar. It's $165. This is an all-day class going over all sorts of things. Gun malfunctions, shooting multiple targets, shooting on the move, going into the shoot house, learning how to turn corners, mindset and philosophy. All sorts of great stuff. All-day class, barbecue lunches included. It's a rainbow of things, all the way across the rainbow of different aspects of carrying a handgun and using it for self-defense. And what we do is try to find your weak spots so you can zero in on them and train a little bit better. Now, on April 22nd, as I mentioned before, I'll be doing a live remote at the Real Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center. The Aaron's team loves to do live remotes because we all get to meet you. And my special guest will be attorney Benton Ross Watson and CJ Grisham. Now, almost everyone knows CJ. We talked about him just a few minutes ago. Because if you don't, you've been living under a rock. But CJ is one of the main reasons why we have open carry here in Texas. So that should prove to be a very interesting interview. And finally, to close up the month of April, Aaron's High Cap Adventures will be conducting a semi-auto rifle training seminar. The last one we had only covered M4s, ARs and M4s. And kind of left out a whole bunch of people. So the seminar will go over ARs, AKs, SKSs, mini 14s, mini 30s, any rifle that can fire using some type of magazine, 10-22s, M1As, M1s, M1 carbines, Tommy guns, whatever. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventures page and read the flyer and see what it entails. That course is $200. So you've got the license to carry class today at 2 o'clock. That's $60, $40 for the refresher people. You've got on the 15th, you've got the co-ed self-defense with a handgun and home invasion seminar for $165. And at the end of the month, on the 29th, you've got the semi-auto rifle for $200 all-day course going over AKs, ARs, SKSs, so on and so forth. So check it out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. And you can sign up there on the High Cap Adventure page. Please, while you're there, like us on Facebook. Let's get the numbers up. Give us some positive comments. Give us a call here at the show, 254-697-6633. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Okay, we're going to take 1 minute short break. And when we come back, we are going to have the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We took a short break there. It's April 1st, 2017, and we are now on our segment called The Voice of Law Enforcement. And let me introduce to you Officer Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia. So here we go.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing great this wonderful cloudy Saturday morning. You know, I, for a number of years, about the past 5 years in my former life, I wrote an article every single week for the Camarillo Herald, going over a lot of things about safety and about issues confronting the government, the local government, about the people of the city, the children of the city. And I started thinking, you know, there's a lot of things that people deal with. And this week was really a very tough week. If you read the newspaper or if you watched any news at all, there was a young man up in the Waco area that was just a senior in high school. He had a four-year all-expense-paid college scholarship to Baylor University, a very good athlete. And whatever was going on in his mind, he took his own life this last week. You know, and that is something that I can understand at times because it hurts people. Sometimes people get so despondent. But, you know, there's always a fix. There's always a way to get out of that. There's always somebody that's willing to help you with that. And so the topic today is going to be kind of tied along those same lines. I've had some experience over the last week or so with a young girl who is very close to me, who's about 13 years old, in junior high school, middle school, there in the Temple area. And some people have posted some things, basically cyberbullying about her. And then I've had some friends of mine that are older adults that were going through the same exact thing. So what I thought I'd do today, folks, is talk a little bit about what the world of cyberbullying has come to. You know, young people are using the internet much more than ever and must have internet access from home or anywhere they can. You know, if you have any young people in your home, and actually adults too, we're tied to our telephones. It's frustrating to me to go out to a restaurant, and when you're sitting there looking at all the people who are on their phones instead of enjoying their families, we have become a prisoner of our cell phones. And with that comes a lot of things that hurt people, a lot of things that cause people grief. You know, especially for kids. For many children, the internet isn't simply a convenient way to research or to have fun after school activity. And that's what they use it for. I mean, it's whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Snapchat or any of the other things, it has become a big part of their social life. Emailing and chatting with friends are children's most common online activities right now after studying and playing games. Playing games, and somewhere along the line, studying comes last. With that, though, there are many, many social situations that some kids can't seem to handle. And we often wonder when we hear about kids that have done something to take their own life or to hurt themselves or hurt someone else. Did cyberbullying, did bullying have effect in it? But like many other social situations, some kids can't handle the processes that come across it on the internet or whatever it may be. Adults, you know, we have the old saying, you know, you have to be like a duck. You have to let things just roll off your back, just like water does on a duck. But kids can't do that. Cyberbullying is similar to other types of bullying, except it takes place online and through text messages sent to cell phones. You know, cyberbullies can be classmates, online acquaintances, and even anonymous users, but most often they do know their victims, folks. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, examples of ways kids bully online are sending someone mean or threatening emails, instant messages, or text messages, excluding someone from an instant messenger buddy list, or blocking their email for no reason. Sometimes it's tricking someone into revealing personal or embarrassing information and sending it to others. Just this past week, McLennan County and some of the Bosque County did a couple of very serious online stings where they arrested a number of, and I can't even describe what type of people they are because I would get into FCC problems if I did, that people who take advantage of wanting to meet teenagers, adults who have some reason to want to meet a 13 or a 12-year-old or 11-year-old for things that are unspeakable. I can't explain that. I know that, you know, I realize that some of us often say, if somebody ever did that to my kid, we'd take harm out on them. Well, you know, we can't do that, but we want to. Breaking into someone's email or instant message account to send cruel or untrue messages is something that a lot of people do. I know we have had, when I was actively involved in law enforcement, I can't tell you how many people would come down, bring phones with messages on them, how many parents would call us about their children receiving threatening messages. And there's no excuse for it. I mean, it's just something that alarms the kids, alarms the family, and it's something that puts undue stress upon them. Both boys and girls sometimes bully online, and just as in face-to-face bullying, it tends to be in different ways, sometimes more serious. We can talk to people online where we can't talk to them face-to-face, and that's a sad lament about what a lot of our society has gone to. Boys more commonly bully by sending messages of a sexual nature or threatening to fight or hurt someone. Girls, however, more often bully by spreading rumors and by sending messages that make fun of someone or exclude others. You know, I know that many of you remember back when you were in high school, you had the what we call the haves and the have-nots, or the ones who lived on that side of the tracks or this side of the tracks. You know, being from the city I was from and being in the socioeconomic area that I grew up in, we didn't see poor or we didn't see a rich. We saw just people. My folks stressed that growing up. But nowadays, we sometimes have lost that faith. We've lost the idea that people are different. One of the things that also happens is many times girls tell secrets about each other. What are some of the effects of cyberbullying, you might ask? Victims of cyberbullying may experience many of the same effects as children who are bullied in person, such as a sudden drop in grades, a decreased self-esteem, a change in interest, or depression. And depression is one of the scariest things in the world because you don't know how to handle that many times. A parent thinks they can handle it. And folks, I'll be honest with you, there are times when you do need to call professionals in. You need to take someone and have them get some help. Cyberbullying can seem more extreme to its victims because of this, of several factors, and this is really important. It occurs in the child's home. That's violating your own home. Being bullied at home can take away the place where children feel most safe. It can be harsher. Often kids say things online that they would never say in person, mainly because they can't see the other person's reaction. Adults do that same exact things. In a dating situation, and it's maybe a marriage that has got some kind of problems with it, you see a lot of this. You can hurt people by the pen much more, I think, than you can by physical. It can be far-reaching, too. Kids can send emails making fun of someone to their entire class or school with the mouth clicks of the computer to see. But we've seen a lot of TV shows that talk about things like that. And you see sometimes in comedies, they'll show comedies, especially if you remember the one about Two and a Half Men, where Alan had something posted about him, or Charlie, I'm sorry, had something posted about him, and it caused a chain reaction in his life. That happens every day. That is not that far-fetched. The thing about cyberbullying, it can be anonymous. Cyberbullies often hide behind screen names and email addresses that they don't identify with or who they are. You can make up almost any kind of name or any kind of handle, whatever you want to call it. But the important thing to remember, and the important thing for parents to understand, is talk to your kids about cyberbullying, because your IP address, your internet protocol, is going to show up wherever it comes from. It may be, and it also is, may seem inescapable away from a cyberbully by just getting offline. But for some kids, and that's not so easy. It takes away one of their most important and major places that they socialize. We've taught our kids not to socialize, basically, because we as parents don't socialize anymore. I remember growing up there in Temple, there was never an evening or a weekend that we didn't go see a family member. We didn't sit out on the porch or in the backyard. We didn't have some kind of a meal. Nowadays, we call those barbecues. But, you know, don't do that like we used to do anymore in this country. We make ourselves prisoners within our own homes, and sometimes that causes problems for our future and our children. Cyberbullying can be a very complicated issue, folks, especially for adults who are not familiar with using the internet, instant messenger, or the chat rooms that some kids use. Take the time to learn some of the abbreviations, what they mean. That you can go online, you can Google it yourself. You can ask for kids of, you can put things such as kids abbreviation for meanings. LOL, laughing out loud, and I won't go into some of the ones they use because it embarrassed me, and I'm pretty hard to embarrass. But like most typical forms of bullying, it can be prevented when kids know how to protect themselves and parents are available to help. Being there to help them is one of the important issues. Parents can help stop cyberbullying so easy. All you got to do is monitor what your kids do. And I know, I can just see it right now. You're saying, well, I trust my kids. I don't have to watch what my kids do. Come on, folks. These are kids. Think about when you were a kid. Did you do everything that your parents would have been proud of you for doing? Sometimes we have to think about our future generations. Parents can stop cyberbullying simply by start talking to your kids about the issue and teaching them the rules below that can help prevent cyberbullying from happening to them or someone they know. Teach your kids never to give out personal information online, whether it's instant message, profiles, chat rooms, blogs, or personal websites. This goes for adults, too. Identity theft. You know, there's so many people, especially when we start talking about our older generations, they trust and they give out information such as their social security number, their bank numbers, their addresses. We how many of you that are listening today, all 100 million of you, how many of you have had an email from Africa saying that you had won $10,000, just send me your bank account and we'll put $1.5 million in your bank account or whatever? Don't ever give out your personal information. And tell your kids not to ever tell anybody except their parents what their passwords are. And you need to know it. You, as a parent, need to know what your kids' passwords are. You have that right. You have that obligation. I'll go one step further. Your kids, you need to make it clear for them. You pay the internet. You pay for the fees. You have a right to do that. And they're going to gripe. They're going to complain. They're going to say, that's invasion of my privacy. There is no such thing as invasion of privacy when they live under your roof, folks. When they live under your roof, you're responsible for them. And one of the things that you teach them also is open emails from people they don't know and tell them never to put anything online that you wouldn't want your classmates to see, even in an email. You know, before they click that send button, they need to understand the ramifications of what it could do to people. You know, Cameron, Temple, Belton, Hearn, Rockdale, it doesn't make a difference where you're at. Kids are the same. People are the same in each one. Keep your home computer in a busy area of your home where privacy is a minimum for kids. I know the kids want their privacy. They'll go to their room, they'll shut their door, and they'll stay there. And they don't want to be bothered. Don't want to even come out to have a family dinner together. But you know what? You need to be aware of what's going on. Keep your computer area open where you can see what's happening. When they start hiding things from you, when they start doing things where you can't see it, there's an issue, folks. And the same with adults, too. Regularly go over their instant messenger buddy list with them. Ask them who these people are. Get involved. You can find a list of those commonly used acronyms in instant messenger and chat rooms from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. You can log on to their account. You can Google their account, and they'll have a whole list of names that you can learn about, things you may have never heard before. Discuss cyberbullying with your children and ask if they are experienced, if they've ever experienced something like that. I know that. You know, we don't ask our kids a lot sometimes. We don't talk to them. And maybe we should. Maybe we should ask them what's going on, what's happening in their lives. You know, emphasize that you won't take away their computer privileges if they'll be honest with you. Tell them that this is the main reason that kids don't tell adults when they're cyberbullied is simply for the fact that they're scared and they think they're going to lose a privilege. As a matter of fact, just within the recent times, I know that there are a lot of folks, even in this town right here, that have called, sent emails come by the police department when I was there, explaining that their children were victims of cyberbullying. It's going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen. And what happens, the important thing is the reaction that we deal with when it does happen. We need to let our kids know that there's a lot of things out there that are bad in this world. Not everything is just hunky-dory, peachy keen. We need to make sure they understand there are people out there that will take advantage of them. If you followed any of the news here lately, especially on KWTX, they've been doing a great deal of talk about the trafficking in this area. Central Texas, I-35 corridor, the Houston to Waco to Dallas corridor, there's a lot of trafficking that goes on. Much of that trafficking is set up and arranged on the internet. You need to be aware of that, especially if you have young children. Teach them that there are some bad guys out there. There's some bad people out there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be men that are the bad guys. And the last thing that McLennan County did, there were a number of women that were trying to set up meetings with young boys. So it's important that you understand what's going on. Like I said, it's the first part of this morning, folks. I can't imagine what the parents of that young boy from Waco are going through right now, with such a bright mind, such a future ahead of him, a four-year paid, all-expense-paid scholarship to Baylor University, and his life cut short. There's got to be a reason behind that. There's got to be reasons that people need to start talking about and seeing. Our kids are our most valuable asset, ladies and gentlemen. You know, many of us are in the, and I hate to use this word loosely, but we're in the autumn of our years. We're in the latter part of our lives. But there's a lot of young people out there that are growing, that are going to depend upon us to give them the wisdom that we need to give. And sometimes our wisdom is good. Sometimes it's not good. But I know that at least talking to kids, talking to people is one of the best assets that we can have. You need to tell your kids, please call me, please talk to me if you ever get scared, if you start feeling that you're depressed. I have two sons. One's 37 years old and one's 33 years old. There's not a day that goes by that I don't worry about them. And I know that you as parents do the same thing. I have grandchildren. My grandchildren, I worry about them, especially growing up in some of the school districts around this country that they grow up in. My grandson, for instance, and I'll take this time to kind of toot his horn, he's 15 years old, fixing to get his driver's license. And at 15, only thing I was thinking about was football and girls. Well, that young man, the only thing he thinks about, I mean, the only thing he thinks about is fishing and hunting. And I think to myself, boy, I wish more kids were like that. He just was given a very nice boat by a person that's close to the family. And he's been spending his spare time after school working on a boat. Things like that, wholesome things like that, are what we need to get our kids into. There's things that we can share with our kids. And that's something that I really stress enough, folks. Spend the time. Take your kids out shooting. Take them out hunting. Take them out fishing. Give them something to do, especially with all the good instruction and classes. Get them involved in some classes where they can learn about taking care of themselves. It'll help them down the road. It'll help them in the future. It'll teach them responsibility, and that's the key. So I hope everybody has got something out of this today. I hope that somebody understands that I'm not here to preach or anything of that nature, but I've seen a lot of hurt in this world. I've seen a lot of people lose things that they shouldn't lose, like their lives and their freedoms. So let's all work together. Let's make this a great place. Central Texas is a wonderful place to grow up. We've got lakes, we've got rivers, we've got fields to hunt in. We have people that will teach you how to do it correctly. You can go to Aaron's Gun Shop. He's got a great program, and that's things that kids need to get involved. Give them an avenue. Give them something to do besides sit behind a computer or behind a keyboard playing some kind of game that most of the time is going to involve shooting, killing of people. So until next week, have a great week, everybody. Remember, it's April Fool's Day today. So play a good, wholesome joke on someone and have a good time. Until next week, we'll see y'all later.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 1st, 2017, April Fool's Day. And we just had the voice of law enforcement get off the air. Awesome guy, great information. Love to hear him every Saturday at about 11 o'clock, so check him out again. Again, we've got a license to carry class today at 2 o'clock, $60 for new persons, $40 for a refresher. And believe me, if you carry a license to carry or a concealed handgun license, you need a refresher. Trust me, you need a refresher. It's always good to be up and refreshed on that. And also at the beginning part of the show, we have our attorney lawyer segment with attorney Benton Ross Watson on, and I give him some penal code, he explains it, and we all understand. So it's a great thing. What we're going to do right now is one of our sponsors is ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. You can reach them at 254-983-4417. Ladies and gentlemen, they have a lot of guns. They have a lot of accessories, ammo, knives, gun cases, holsters, the whole works. The crew there, the owner, Arch Kuntz, awesome guy. Got a great crew. Clint, Mike, Dennis, all willing to help you. do whatever they can, help you find those guns that you can't locate, so on and so forth. So check them out. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, but they're sponsoring this segment, so you know it's a circle of life. I'm on the air. They sponsor me. You buy products from them. They continue to do it. So help them out and give them a call. Tell them you heard it from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Go check it out and support them. What we're going to talk about today on this segment that's being sponsored by ANC Firearms is the Bursa 22 Thunder, the Bursa Thunder 22. Now, a lot of people are familiar with the Bursa Thunder 380, the two-toned handgun that kind of looks like the Walther. That is a fantastic gun for the price for a starting, for a newbie shooter, or specifically a woman. And I'm not trying to be saying, oh, you're a woman, you need this gun. Some women, a lot of women, have a challenge at first racking the slide of an automatic pistol. In the course of my workings with guns, I've come to see that the Bursa 380 is an excellent gun that allows the shooter who has a hard time racking the slide to be able to rack the slide. The way it's designed, the spring, the whole works. A person who can't rack one slide can always seem to rack the slide on a Bursa Thunder 380. So this is a very interesting gun. It's not expensive. It's well made. It's got a lot of bells and whistles. That's the 380. But we're going to be talking about the Bursa Thunder 22. And if I have enough time, I'm going to go over the 22 conversion kits as versing the 22 dedicated weapons. So keep that all in mind as I read about this, because ANC Firearms right now has the Bursa Thunder 22. It's an awesome looking piece. It's matte stainless or matte nickel finish. And we're going to talk about it now. But like I'd like to do is get another person's opinion. This one is from thetruthaboutguns.com, and it's by Adam S. Let me read it to you now. Grab some CCI mini mags and some tin cans and meet me at the corner of style and functionality. I mean, that says it all right there. So begins my review of the Bursa Thunder 22, a nifty little pistol with smooth lines and a low price tag capable of providing hours of relatively cheap plinking. Here's the overview. The Bursa Thunder 22 is an all-metal, double-action, fixed-barrel, blowback-operated compact pistol of It's from Argentina, okay? I can't say that word. Bursa, renowned for manufacturing high-quality pistols at affordable prices, is perhaps best known for their Thunder 22's beefier cousin, the Thunder 380. The Thunder 22, aside from the chambering and a few other minor exceptions, is identical to the Thunder 380. All in all, it's an appealing little package. Factor in the low price tag, and the appeal only increases. The appearance. A Bursa's Thunder series is heavily informed by Walther's legendary PPK series, and the influence is readily apparent. The pistol, especially its satin nickel finish, evokes a slightly elongated PPK. The beaver tail is a bit longer and slimmer in the Bursa, and the barrel is minutely in the neighborhood of about 0.3 inches longer. The square face of the trigger guard, while decidedly un-PPK-esque design, flows cleanly and naturally into the frame in a gentle, uninterrupted curve that is pleasant to behold. The Bursa Thunder also have more doohickeys plastered on its frame than the PPK, specifically a takedown lever, a slide stop, and an exposed trigger bar, and an integrated lock. So, a PPK it ain't, but for all that, the Bursa echoes its fundamental lines. The Thunder 22 has refined but businesslike aesthetics of a bygone era, the sort of classic cool that would go well with a tailored tux and a dry martini. Yeah, you know what that's talking about. Features. The pistol features an aluminum alloy frame and steel slide and utilitarian black pistol grips. It ships with all the usual accompaniments, an instructional manual, one 10-round magazine, a proof that we fired it and it didn't explode, shell casing in a tiny manila envelope, a warranty card, and a miniature Bursa key for the integrated lock. The Thunder has small sights whose modest stature bellies their inherent usability. Unlike the concealed carry weapon-sized pistols that feature borderline useless sights, every snub-nosed 38 in existence comes to mind, the Thunder features drift-adjustable three-dot sights. The dots themselves are painted bright orange and easily acquired. For an inexpensive, relatively small pistol, the ergonomics are very agreeable. The frame-mounted magazine release is nicely checkered and protrudes sufficiently to allow for easy engagement, but not so far as to encourage any premature ejections. Huh. The slide stop is positioned to allow for easy disengagement with a smooth downward sweep of the thumb. The safety decocker is also positioned for easy access by the thumb. Size-wise, it looms over a Beretta 21A, but it's considerably smaller than a Ruger Mark III. It's definitely not a pocket gun, but it could be carried comfortably and discreetly in an in-the-waistband holster all day. The Thunder 22, not to be a competition-ready tack driver, but it's still capable of extreme accuracy. I've never bench-rested it, but given the offhands group I shot with it, I'm confident that it's more accurate than I am. You may not take home any medals with it, but you can, at reasonable ranges, dispatch bottles and cans with extreme prejudice. The minimal recoil of the 22 long rifle combined with the weight of the metal construction make for rapid follow-up shots. In my experience, reacquisition of the sight picture outpaces the reset of the trigger. Most, if not all, of the perceived recoil comes from the reciprocation of the slide. It's pellet gun soft to shoot. Very easy to shoot. The Thunder 22 will cycle flawlessly all day on a diet of high-velocity CCIs and seems to digest Remington Yellow Jackets with no trouble. Final thoughts. The Bursa Thunder 22 is a pistol that defies categorization. It's a non-specialist specialist, a utility infielder. I've read other reviews that tout its usefulness as a less expensive to shoot training platform for the Thunder 380, but I say to hell with rationalizing your purchase. It's a good looking, well constructed, good shooting gun at a great price that's dang fun to shoot. Specifications: 22 long rifle, 10+1 capacity, barrel length 3.5 inches, overall length 6.5 inches, height 4.7 inches. Unloaded, it weighs 19 ounces. It's got an aluminum alloy frame with a steel slide. It's simple blowback, 3-dot sight system, and the pull is about 700 pounds in the double action and about 5.25 pounds in the single action mode. It's right around $300. So check it out. Very nice gun. It's on the shelf at ANC Firearms right now. It's a sexy little pistol. It's a cheap one to shoot, cheap one to buy. Go check it out. Call 254-983-4417. Now, look, I'm going to take a couple minutes here to go over the next segment because I got my special guest here, and we're going to get him on in about 5 minutes. And that's Zoltan Varga. I can't wait to talk to him. He's my rifle instructor for our seminars, and we've got a lot to talk about. So give me a minute here, because we are going to talk to you about now is the gun training demo. And you know what's really cool about the gun training demo is that it's in my notes here. And as I flip, there it is. I'm stalling. Okay. I wanted to talk to you about 22 conversions versus 22 dedicated guns. And this falls in perfectly because we just talked about the Bursa 22. But first, let me explain the difference between the two first, and then go into why they're great to have for fun and training. Simply, the conversion is an add-on. The dedicated 22 is built from top to bottom as a 22. So let's talk pros and cons here. We'll talk about the pros and cons of a conversion. Conversions don't always work perfectly. They can be finicky or need fine-tuning. I know I've had a bunch of them, and once you get them going, good to go. They may not replicate a one-to-one scale of the full-size gun it's copying. And it is necessary to take apart the gun you are converting to put the conversion kit on. Now, the pros are that you got to shoot cheaper 22s out of the gun that you have, okay? Now, a dedicated 22, in my opinion, is much better. Being built as a 22 from top to bottom, it seems to work exceptionally well right out of the box. Now, I personally buy dedicated 22s that perfectly replicate my full-size caliber guns to ensure that all the bells and whistles are the same, so that if I train with the 22s, I can immediately pick up my large caliber gun and not miss a beat. Let's use my two M4s as an example. One's a 5.56 and the other is a 22 long rifle. Everything is the same on both guns. There is no hesitation. There is no confusion as to where things are. And I want to show you now, I'm going to be doing a video on this. And right now I'm showing in the camera, which you'll see on a YouTube, and we'll have it on Facebook too, is my AR M4 platform in 5.56. Okay, first thing I do, the magazine's out, I'm checking the chamber, the gun's on safe. But if you'll notice here, we got the standard M4, I got my sights. I got my flashlight, quad rail, Magpul angled forward grip. I've got my ACOG on there, standard sling, typical grip that fits my hand nicely. Okay? Basic, plain and simple, except it's got high-dollar optics on it. So that's my 5.56. Well, 5.56 cost a lot more to shoot than 22s, right? So what did I do? I got, if you can still hear me, I got my AR M4 22 M4 configuration. So if you're looking at the video, you may not see much of a difference. Check it again. Mag is out. Chamber's clear. I've got my ACOG light on there. And I don't mean light flashlight. I mean it's a replica of an ACOG because I don't have much recoil. I wasn't worried about the durability of an ACOG as compared to one of these Taiwanese copies of an ACOG. It shoots fantastic. And by the way, if you can get a Taiwan-made optic as compared to a Chinese one, trust me, you'll be much more happy. Okay, I've got my quad rail, my flashlight, my sight systems, my iron sights. I've got the ACOG, typical sling, angled forward grip. It looks just like my other one, but I can shoot this all day long for a third of the price, if not a quarter of the price, a fraction of the price. And then when I go to the real one, in the sense of larger caliber, all the bells and whistles in the same place. I don't have to rethink it. Now, let me continue on here. Let me explain that more thoroughly. Let's say I have a night. Okay, look. If I've got, if everything's the same on both guns, there's no hesitation. No hesitation. There's no confusion of where things are. But let's say you don't do that. Let's say I have a 1911 in 45 ACP, but I want to train with a 22 because it's cheaper, and I decide to get a Ruger 22 target pistol. Now, those two don't match at all. So I train with one, but when I go hot or live, I've got to rethink everything. I and you don't have the time for that. It is much better to get dedicated 22s that are one-to-one scale of your larger guns and make sure your accessories are the same on both guns. Trust me, when the compost hits the fan, you won't have the time to learn new tricks. So 22 conversions or 22 dedicated weapons are awesome. The 22 dedicated ones, in my opinion, are better. They've got so many out there now. I remember getting my Signer kit back in the day because they didn't have all these 22 dedicated guns that replicated all the guns that I may own or wish to own. And here's another example in the video. Here is my Ruger 22. Showing the people on the video here. It's a Ruger 22 single six. And then it's big brother, the Ruger Vaquero in 45 long colt and 45 ACP. So I went from 45 long colt to a cheaper cylinder, 45 ACP. And then if I want to go even cheaper, I've got the gun that looks just like it, functions the same way, but one's a 22 and one's a large size. So conversion kits and dedicated 22s are the way to go. It's a fantastic way to do some great training. Get yours today. Go to ANC Firearms. Call them at 254-983-4417. And with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, my special guest, Zoltan Varga, my rifle instructor for my M4 classes and my semi-auto rifle classes. We'll see you on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Programs. It's 11:45, 15 minutes to go in the program, and we have a special guest on the show today. That is Zoltan Varga. And let me tell you about this guy. Actually, he's going to tell you a little bit about himself, but I met him through a friend, and he has a long military history. We clicked immediately, and he is now one of my instructors for the M4 class and semi-auto rifle class and other things as well at Aaron's High Cap Adventures. And so we have on the air today Zoltan Varga. Zoltan, I'm going to call you Zoli because we're buddies and I'm allowed to call you Zoli. So get that mic. Let's see here. Trey, we good to go on his voice on the mic? That's a tricky. Why don't you say hi to everybody there, Zoli?
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Zoli, you're a man of few words, but the few words you speak are with deadly accuracy. So we're going to talk today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I want to know. Tell everybody where you're from, what you've done, how you got in the military, what you've done in the military, and what brought you here to the States. So everybody gets to know. There's a lot of people out there who know Zoli already from the shot. There's a lot of people out there who don't. This guy's awesome, and he's great when it comes to training. And if you're even thinking about using your M4 or some type of semi-auto, we got a class coming up, and this is the man to get it from. So go ahead, Zoli. Tell everybody.
Good day, everybody. So I was born and raised in Hungary, Europe. My family is an old traditional military family that's every generation has at least one military member. That's why brought me to the military in my generation. I served 13 years in the Hungarian Defense Forces. And from these 13 years, 9 years in the Special Forces. I had many different kind of jobs there. Also, I had a deployment in Afghanistan as a TF-10 ISAF Special Operations S6 NCO. And I came, first time when I came to Texas, it was for a language course by the military when I met my future wife, and that's what brought me here.
And we all know your wife. She's a fantastic woman. She has to be fantastic to put up with you, Zoli. Isn't that right?
Yeah. She needs a really lots of patience for me.
That's great. Okay, so you've got this fantastic history. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633. If you got a question, if you got something you want to know when it pertains to the topic that we're on, give us a call here. Zoli's awesome. He's He's a plethora of information when it comes to tactics, weapons, so on and so forth. But Zoli, I'm going to ask some questions here. We're going to talk a little bit and just get people to get a feel for who you are, and we'll talk about the seminars and all that kind of stuff. But first of all, how many languages do you speak?
Totally four.
Four languages.
And a half.
I speak two. It's one's English, the other one's street. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
See, that's the second language there.
Well, if we can count the street and the sarcasm, then...
That we're up to six. Okay.
Drunkenese.
Drunkenese? Yeah, that one's a special one, too. Okay, you're ex-military. You gave us some details, but primarily, I think what's most important in this interview and what you do at the shop, Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures, is your special forces skills, because it's a higher level. Look, we've all, when you all go in the military, you all do your basic stuff, and then you advance and you go into your specialties. Some go, do push pencils and paperwork. Others go out in the field and become bullet catchers, SF, and they go even further. So with that experience, there's a lot of things you can contribute. I'm going all over the place here because I've only got a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. So if I'm bouncing all over, it's because something pops in my head and I want to talk about it. So we're going to talk about this, Zoli. I've had longstanding M4 classes and semi-auto classes, and I have had other instructors, and they've done fantastic jobs, but they've had to move on. Now, you come into the picture, and you bring to the table lots to offer to the people. However, I'm not one who pushes military tactics because I am military, and I have the tactics. However, realistically, where I am, what I do, and who I have to train and teach are not military. They're homeowners, farmers, ranchers. So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, you're there in your pair of jeans, maybe no shirt, working on a fence, and something goes down. How do you handle it? You're in your home at night sometimes, and you're in your boxer shorts and flip-flops, and something goes down. What do you do to handle it? You're whatever. Something goes down. So we have to apply it in the civilian sense. However, your military tactics come into play. So what I would like you to do is give me some of your thoughts, some of your opinions on how my training towards civilian direction and your military high-speed, low-drag tactics can apply and merge together, because we have done that and it works fantastic. Tell me what you think.
We train many different kind of people in the military, and we train with all over Europe and the U.S. Special Forces all the time, as well as counter-terrorists and other police forces. So here... And we are technically trained for go in to a house or to an area and clean it out. Here what the people need and mostly wants to learn is how to defend themselves against an intruder. So it's almost like I try to train them with common sense and military tactics against myself.
That is such an... You said that to me earlier, and you know, it's like, wow. That hit the hammer on the head of the nail there. You were training them to stop you, right?
Not really, because if you see, like, a police force is going to a house against a criminal, a police force using their tactics, and the criminal doesn't have or really less tactics they have.
Can that be a can that actually, in your opinion, be a detriment for somebody trying to train against what somebody like you would be doing in the house as compared to somebody who don't know jack squat and there's no rules? I'll give you an example. My son Dylan, he acts as my crackhead on the seminars. He breaks in the house, but he has no rules. He has no engagement. He's just there. He's a wild card. So what you're saying is it's good to know all these tactics, but you still got to be aware of the guy who's the wild card too, right?
Yeah, but also I think if someone goes into your house in the middle of the night, you have only one rule. Definitely, is your family would be behind of the gun.
And hopefully your wife is backing you up. Because we had that story earlier today. I was a little irked by that. You heard that. Okay. Okay, so what would be... Let's talk about the seminar. We had the M4 seminar last month. I'm losing track of time here. What did you see in that seminar that was lacking... of a lot of people? They say, you need some work on this. This is one of the common fails of when it comes to using weapons that we saw in our training. I know what it is, you know what it is. Let's try to tell the people out there what you see as a common element.
I think many people think if they have a gun or have an AR or a pistol and they carry it or just keep it on a nightstand, they automatically feel safe because of it. But And they are coming to the shooting range and standing in the line and shoot great little groups and everything. But at that moment, when they have any kind of difficulties that just a little bit kicks them out from their comfort zone, like start to move, you can use only one hand, use your weaker hand or left hand.
Yeah, wait a minute here, I'm left-handed. So what are you trying to say? Left hand is the way to go?
No, you're weaker. So if you move them out from the comfort zone, their groups goes everywhere. And especially here in the U.S., with these drywall houses, if you shoot a 9mm or shoot a 5.56...
Let me clarify that. Drywall houses. Go ahead. Just clarify.
Then that round will go to the neighborhood if they don't hit the target.
That's
meanwhile,
right.
In Europe, it's not a big problem because 99% of the houses are built from concrete and bricks.
Okay, so a lot to think about, and we've gone over that as well. So in the seminar, it's building confidence, and what we're doing is, like I said earlier before, we have a rainbow effect going on. We start at the one side of the rainbow, and we go around all the way to the other side of the rainbow. In the course of the rainbow, we're finding their weak spots. We can't train 100% everything in 8 to 10 hours. It's impossible. But we can go over the gamut of things. And in the course of that, when you apply the stress to them, we start seeing where they break down, right?
Yeah. And also, we need to a little bit open up their eyes about how to think about their homes. Because they are at home and they know every corner, but they never see their home as an actual battlefield. They don't really discover when they go around the house and turn off the lights, is where are the less lights or the little spotlights are, when they can see more big areas. They never try to think about is like, if I shoot this way, it goes through this wall, this wall, this wall, and end up in the children's room.
That's right. That's right. Know your backstop and know your target, know your backstop, right? Okay, there was, in the shoot house, we use airsoft rifles. And people kind of joke about that. We've got another instructor who we've talked about. We're not going to mention his name at the moment. But at one point in time, he's very, very capable. But at one point in time, he's thinking, what's airsoft? It ain't no big deal. But I was talking about one-to-one scale. I've got one-to-one scale M4s, 1-to-1 scale 1911s, or 1-to-1 scale Glocks, or whatever it is. And when you go into the shoot house, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have an aggressor. And Zoli here teaches you how to turn your corners, how to properly hold the weapon, and engage your targets, utilizing the knowledge that, hey, if you shoot through this one wall, it could go to your children's room, like you were just saying. So I'm bouncing all over here. Give me some personal thought about going through your home, searching room to room. Isn't it almost suicidal trying to secure a home one person by yourself, but you've got to do it anyway?
Not almost suicidal. There are a couple of tricks that we taught in the class, like little marks on the floor or on the ceiling where you can see most of the area what you need to search out. Also, little life hacks and tricks what you can use and increase way more than your chances.
Are we talking about indicators?
Yeah.
Like noise, vibration?
No. Like a little mark on the ball or somewhere where you know, because you discovered earlier, if I stand here, I can see this area clearly. But if I step one left or right, I have a good cover and they cannot see me.
Okay, because a lot of times we talk about trying to figure out, since it is your home, it's your battlefield, you kind of know things. You know what planks squeak, you know which LED lights that are coming off your TV, or if you got an LED light in the hallway casting shadows, or if you're leaning up against the wall and somebody bumps on it, you feel the bump. You know, all those kind of things, all these indicators that we can help us pinpoint where a threat is in the building, and we go over those things too in the class.
Yeah, as the way special forces train before they go to a house, and they are actually draw up the whole house map or a compound map on the floor, and they walk around hundreds of times, like, how we'll turn, how we'll take cover, in a case before they go into the house.
Now, Zoli, we're talking, you and I are talking, and you and I are in the same sheet of music, so we understand the importance. However, there's some people who don't grasp this is not a game. It's not. One day, God forbid, if it ever happens to you, if you didn't do your prep work, you're screwed. So what can you say to, I mean, what, help me out. What could you say to somebody? Some people go, ah, it's never going to happen to me. They're full of it. They're not, it could happen to you. What have you seen in your history of people who are not trained?
Well, most of the people who are taking any kind of class and things they are prepared, or in the military, it happened. First firefight and they froze up. They didn't know what to do. They forget everything. Also, that's why in the military people train, because it goes into the muscle memory and don't need to think about is, oh, what I need to do next is, where is the button of the to reload the magazine or whatever.
Would you agree that some people may think this is overwhelming? And if so, can we reassure them that it really isn't? It really breaks down into a simple process of, one, you've got to decide there is a potential. And two, I have the equipment. All I have to do now is learn the process. And the process, in reality, breaks down into quite simple segments, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Also, like, and a good example of what happens with people who doesn't prepare and get ready, it's a good example, the Orlando or San Marcos.
Right, exactly. Now, look, time's running out. I got 1 minute to go. Zoli, do you do other things that can help people with their guns? He's very capable.
Yeah, actually, I have a small arms mechanic high school degree in Hungary. And also, I was trained many kind of different kind of firearms in the army, but I can fix and help up.
And let me back that up. Whenever Zoli comes into the shop, first thing he does when he sees a weapon, picks it up, looks at it, examines it, checks it out, and says, oh, okay, this, that, and the other. So he knows what he's doing. If you have a challenge or any problems, give me a call at the shop. We'll link you up with Zoli. Maybe he can help you out. But I'm getting the signal. I'm running out of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, Zoli, thank you very much. You're an awesome instructor. You're an awesome guy. I'd love to have you on. Thank you for coming on the show. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, remember, go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all that we have going on in the month of April. And we'll see you next week. Keep your powder dry, and God bless.